The Rain 2021 Audio Evolution Summit.
So Radio in the Move is a study that we've been doing now for 12 years. This is the 12th year of the study. It goes back to December of 2010. That's when we got it started. That's when everybody started talking about the connected car. And the thinking was, well, gee, this is going to be big news for radio and a concern for radio. So we got into field in December of 2010 to sort of get a baseline on what was happening in the connected car. And here we are 12 years later, and radio is still alive and still being listened to in the car. And over the last few years, we've been able to expand the role of that beyond just the car, but also bringing in just the full audio landscape. And that's really thanks to the support of Radio Connects has made that possible. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to get a fix on the state of audio as it is now, or as it was as of February, an online survey of Canadians aged 12 plus, or 18 plus, using the Maru Voice Canada panel. First, just start with a snapshot among all Canadians, adults. And here's what it looks like in terms of past week listening of various types of audio in Canada. Radio still is the big dog, even during COVID, when people aren't in their cars as much as they were. I mean, over-the-air AM/FM alone, this is just on a regular radio, accounts for 63% of Canadians' adults say that they've listened in the past week. That's nearly three times the reach of the next highest type of audio available to advertisers, and that's online music streaming that's free ad supported, which is actually just a little bit ahead of streamed AM/FM podcasts. And in Canada, we also have 13% of Canadians listen to their AM/FM stations through their TV cable satellite subscription, the upper channels. You can get AM/FM, and a remarkable percentage of Canadians still do that. We've been tracking that for a while as well. One of the big stories that we see since pre-pandemic times is the growth of AM/FM streaming. In just that 1 year, past week streaming of AM/FM has gone from 14%, and we were in field in fall of 2019 and January of 2020, and comparing that to what we got in February, we're now up to 18% of all Canadian adults say that they've streamed AM/FM in the past month. Monthly, it's gone up from 23 to 28%, and it's remarkably consistent across all demographics. If we look at, but not exclusively among 18 to 34-year-olds, it really is very widespread, and widespread across all regions of Canada as well. Virtually every region is up, at least 3-4 points. So what is driving this growth of streaming? Here's what we see. It really has a lot to do with the smartphone. Since the fall of 2018, AM/FM streaming has become increasingly a smartphone thing. 38% of Canadian adults who streamed AM/FM in the past week said they did it using their smartphones. This is the first time that more Canadians stream AM/FM through their smartphone than over a computer. And we'll also see that tablet and smart speaker listening has gone up as well. And we'll get into that a little bit later. It's part of the larger trend, really, when you look at smartphone use. I mean, Canadians are increasingly taking their audio with them with their smartphones, and that means just more listening to audio in general and more listening on smartphones. All of these various types of audio up year to year in terms of people listening to that audio on their smartphone. This is even as people aren't out and about in the same way that they would have been in normal times. In fact, at this point, there's only one of these types of audio that people are now listen to on their computers more than they do on smartphone. That's YouTube for Music. Every other form of audio, now people are most likely to listen to it on their smartphone. So whether it's streamed AM/FM or all these other types of audio. We also see a similar pattern going back to AM/FM streaming for a second in the Numeris. Numeris is Canada's audience measurement service, and they measure tuning via PPM. And what you're looking at here is the percent of total AM/FM listening that they record going to streaming in general. So of all the AM/FM tuning, all the hours tuned, if you go back to November 2019 to February 2020, so this is before COVID, it accounted for 9% of all of the tuning that they recorded. Fast forward 1 year, same period of time, end of November to end of February, it's up to 12% of all listening. And it's up particularly high among 18 to 34-year-olds, which is interesting. And up most sharply in terms of at-home listening. Again, we are spending a lot more time at home these days, and people have been streaming AM/FM at home, and it accounts for a much larger percentage of in-home listening than it did pre-COVID. It's up 15%, 10% of all AM/FM listening in November of 2019 to February 2020 was done, was streamed. It's now gone up to 15%, looking at the same period of time in November 2020 to February 2021. And it reflects something that a lot of Canadian broadcasters have been seeing in their own streaming data. And where that in-home listening is coming from on streaming has a lot to do with smart speaker penetration, which has been growing dramatically really over the past 5 years. I mean, from fall of 2017, that's when really smart speakers were just getting started in Canada. We're now up to 31%, almost one third of Canadian households now have a smart speaker. And Google, something that's interesting here in Canada, different than the US, is Google has a 2-to-1 lead over Amazon here, which is actually kind of the reverse of what you see in the US. But that growth of smart speaker penetration is important because this is looking at the percentage of Canadians that say they have a regular radio, and that's defined by clock radio or stereo receiver, at home. And it's only two-thirds of Canadians now have a regular radio at home. Look at 18 to 34-year-olds, fewer than half have an AM/FM radio at home. But the interesting thing is, and something we look forward to in the future, is that smart speakers are helping to fill that gap. So if you start looking at the percentage of Canadians who have free and easy access to AM/FM, either through their regular radio or through a smart speaker, and that goes up to 81% of all Canadians have some device in their home that they can listen to AM/FM. When you look at 18 to 34-year-olds, remember we saw that increase in streaming as a proportion of overall listening among 18 to 34-year-olds during COVID. That percentage of having a radio available to them through a smart speaker goes from 47 to 74%. And that's factoring in the fact that this is just smart speakers at the current level of penetration. So as smart speakers become more widely available, it really opens up the door for actually a lot of revitalization of radio listening in the home, and something I think that is an important part of the future, and something that I think has to be considered as we move forward. So if we do some takeaways from all of this, just very briefly, AM/FM radio still the dominant audio medium in Canada. Digital listening to AM/FM is on the rise. I mean, listening to all kinds of audio on smartphone in particular is on the rise. And in addition to that, the growth of smart speakers is really extending that easy access to radio at home as well. Thank you very much for sharing some of those insights. If you do want the full report of Radio in the Move, it is available on the Signal Hill Insights website. It's also available at radioconnects.ca as well. Or if you'd like more information on the study, you can just contact me directly at the email address you see there, jeff@signalhillinsights.com. But I think what I'll do now is I'll stop sharing so that Julie and I can have a chat. Julie?
Good morning. Hi,
Jeff. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. So, I mean, we're seeing all this growth of AM/FM streaming. What does that say to you about where everything is headed?
Well, I think it's the core of it. It's, I take it as a sign that people like the content they're getting. And that's really what this all comes down to, how you choose to get content, whether it's you're going to stream it or you're going to hit a button in your car, you're going to listen to it on a television or a smart speaker. It's all about the content. And if people like what you're producing and how you're putting it together, I think it's very encouraging to see that people will go out and find it. And, as clock radios have been crushed and, chucked in the recycling bins and, big stereo systems are, probably not as long for the world. That's okay, because if the content is meaningful, people will go grab it, and they'll grab it on a smart speaker or other devices. So I see it as a really great sign.
Yeah, in fact, I mean, one of the findings we had in Radio on the Move, which is in the full report, is smart speaker penetration is increasing in the bedroom. So the clock radio may not be there anymore, but now you got a smart speaker that you can get up in the morning and say, hey, play me CHFI, if you like.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, radio has really always been a mobile medium, hasn't it? I mean, it's if you think about television, television's always been static. It's a thing on your wall that you sit down in front of and you know, look at. Now television is adapting and becoming mobile, but radio's always been, you know, on the move, to use your phrase. It's always been something that you can take with you. And now I think the great news is there are more ways to take it with you than ever before. So distribution is actually broader. It's not narrower.
Yeah.
Now there's a lot more competition for attention and for people's time. And the content's a lot better because there are so many incredible creators that are, you know, working in the audio space and overall in the content space. But, you know, I would say the distribution opportunity has never been greater than it is today.
I mean, it is a long time since people carried around a transistor radio or even a boombox with them. But now everybody's got a radio in their pocket, right?
Absolutely.
And they have opportunity to listen to all kinds of audio. And I think that's one of the things that sometimes is forgotten or missed is the fact that, you know, smartphones and smart speakers have really increased the use of audio overall. Sometimes we get focused on this sort of pie of audio listening and this is going to this one and that's going to that one. And if there's more here, then there's got to be less here. Well, the fact is that pie has been expanding. Because, you know, we have more opportunities to listen to audio in general. And yes, there is more competition, but there's also more ways to listen, right?
Absolutely. More ways to listen and more opportunities to create content that is different from the box that we've always been in, which was defined by geography in a tower and a radius. You know, now there are so many more opportunities.
What are those things that Rogers is doing to prepare for this, I mean, increasingly digital future as radio is moving from analog to digital? It's happening in a different way in Canada and the US than it is, let's say, in Europe or the rest of the world. But it does seem to be moving in the same direction, although, you know, through sort of different means.
Yeah, I would say the first big thing that we did was investing in ad technology. You know, Rogers is a big Canadian company, and radio is, although it was the first part of Rogers, it is a small part of Rogers now in comparison with, you know, wireless and cable and all the different pieces of Rogers. So we have a lot of customers across Rogers, and we have a lot of customers in our media business. And the thing that we have been focused on for the longest period of time is the ad technology and being able to get dynamic ad insertion right, because, you know, this ability to deliver ads through streams that are targeted and more relevant to customers, I think is incredibly important. We tend not to talk a lot about advertising and how important good creative is and how important getting an ad, you know, that is targeted for me, for something that I'm interested in, is going to be different than what you're interested in, Jeff, yet we may be interested in the same content. So we have been, you know, 5-ish years working on ad tech. It took a long time to get it right because we wanted the customer experience to be good. So, you know, ads aren't clipped and, you know, content isn't skipped. So that would be number one. And we feel really good about that. And then we've been building out customer segments for how to target. You know, obviously all of the data that we have is aggregated and anonymous, and huge, you know, privacy around that, and we're very conscious of protecting that privacy, but we are able to segment. And so, you know, you may be interested in buying a car and I'm not, and so, you know, serving a car ad up to me may be less effective than serving it up to you. So So having this ability to go broad with broadcast, but also narrow targeting around ad tech.
So how does that work on a sales side if you're selling your radio stations on an analog basis where you've got baked in advertising, if you like, to those who are listening to the broadcast, and then you've got the ability to do the targeted advertising on the digital streams?
Yeah, so we start from a, you know, our sales team, while we have specialists who focus on radio, particularly in the local markets, our sales team is moving to a model where, you know, you can sell any of the platforms and any of the content we have. So you have sort of a one view as a customer, you know, and really our job is not to sell our customers what works for us. Our job is to sell them what works for them. So, you know, if you're Tim Hortons and you want a big campaign to build a brand, you know, maybe mass reach across broadcast, radio, and primetime television, or Hockey Night in Canada is the way to go. And if you're looking for something that you just, you know, want to hit a specific market, then you have that option to do that. So we are trying to, you know, really work from the customer's point of view. I guess if you think about, you know, programming and content curation is about, you know, developing content for the audience that works for the audience's point of view. And now it's about creating ad campaigns from the customer's point of view. It's sort of irrelevant to whether it, you know, it touches radio or it touches the streaming, and we give them the choice.
Yeah.
And some people buy everything.
So I know you. And I know that you stay in touch with what's happening with audio around the world, and you're a bit of a student of all that. I'm just curious, what do you see out there that you find exciting about where we're headed?
Yeah, a lot of it. I could go on for hours on this. I think, you
what's
know,
most exciting.
So I'm gonna give you a boring answer, and then I'll maybe reference a couple of things. I think humans are exciting. You know, I am a firm believer that, you know, the need for people and connection and interactivity and interaction and community is as strong today as it's ever been. And it's only going to get stronger and it's never going to go away. So this ability to have amazing creators who are not so, you know, consumed by, I'm a radio host and I shall only do radio. To me, it's exciting to think you can build a show and you can serve it up on a bunch of different platforms. Yeah. So if you, you know, if you love Roz and Mocha, who are one of our shows at Rogers, you can listen to them live. You can listen to them in podcast form. You can get their clips on social media, you know, and then I mean, I think there are even more examples of being able to go to Twitch and so on and so forth. And, so I find that incredibly exciting. And if we can get out of our own heads around, you know, we're radio people and that's what we do, and think, I mean, I would think audio, but I think you can even think bigger than that.
Right.
Specifically, I think iHeart has done an awesome job in the U.S. You know, I watch their, you know, I'm a bit of a financial nerd, so I watch their stock price and, you know, the stock is doing really well. And I think just their, you know, just the scale that they've been able to pull together is pretty inspiring.
Yeah. They have come back from a fairly dark place where they were a few years ago, when you think about it, right?
Yeah. And you know, that, I mean, this isn't a financial conversation, but a lot of that was, you know, sometimes you buy a house and maybe you overpay for it. And the debts, doesn't mean the house isn't valuable, but maybe you can't carry the amount of debt or the mortgage that you have. So I do think they've been able to navigate around that. And that's been pretty inspiring. I'm really curious, and I know Bauer is here. I love UK radio, and I've always found, you know, Bauer and Global to be inspiring. And I'm curious around how the subscription model is going to work for Bauer. I think the subscription model in podcasting is interesting, and we're going to do some experimenting on that front with Apple. And then I think it's pretty cool that, you know, Spotify is obsessed with radio, and, you know, that to me says, like, if you ever want validation about whether it's a great business or not, you know, Spotify, the behemoth, is completely obsessed with it. And that I find fun and fascinating.
I mean, audio is hot, right? I mean, that's kind of what all of that says. You know, there's a lot of companies putting a lot of attention on audio in general, and radio being part of that, but there's a whole lot of pieces to that as well. Anyhow, thank you so much, Julie. Thanks for joining me and helping to make this a conversation rather than a boring research presentation. And there is just one question we got in the chat, and it's a good one, before we move on to the next topic. Specific to Canada, do you know if streaming and satellite listening is of Canadian programming or international? It's a good question. The vast majority of all streaming in Canada is done to Canadian stations, and the vast majority done to local radio stations. But, you know, and it really varies depending on the station and depending on the market. But for the most part, almost all AM/FM streaming is to the, you know, that original location. I think you would probably have information on that too, wouldn't you, Julie?
Yeah, I would say most of the streaming that we're getting is, you know, within market. But we do have some, and it depends on, some of this can be particularly around sports. You know, sometimes sports, you know, fans of teams move. And so some of that content is consumed in the U.S. where we have rights, also around news, you know, with COVID and people being out of country, you know, in the early days there, or for people that are living out of country that want to know what's happening in their home city, in their hometown. Some of that streaming's been happening in the U.S. back to their home cities.
It's great on the ground perspective there. And satellite listening, I mean, satellite listening is Sirius XM. There are Canadian channels, there are U.S. channels. You know, people listen to both of those. I think majority of listening is to the music channels from the U.S., but there are some from Canada as well. But you know, that's kind of split a little bit. Anyhow, thank you all for your attention. And thank you, Julie.